Back in 1955, it was one of the first facilities in the United States specifically for women, and if applicable, their children, in crisis. The Evangel Home of Fresno. And this is the weekly radio voice of the Evangel Home. Welcome to Heartline. Here's your host, Jim Tuck.
All right. Thanks so much, Ken. We appreciate what you do for us here, putting our little interview together, making a radio program. I'm in Jerry Brenneman's office, and Jerry is here, and we have a guest, one of our ladies who's in the crisis shelter. And we want to talk with Elizabeth, but she's been here before, Jerry, and we just talked a little bit off mic. We try not to do too much information stuff. We like the spontaneity of uncovering lives as we go. But introduce Elizabeth, a little bit of background, and then we'll get to hear her story.
Okay. I have a great deal of admiration for Elizabeth because I just don't think people know, Jim, how hard it is. You and I do the radio every week, so it's not so hard for us. But for someone like Elizabeth, who's probably never talked on the radio in her life, and she wakes up one morning and we say, hey, you want to be on the radio? When I think of Elizabeth where she was a couple weeks ago, it certainly, this would never have crossed her mind. Elizabeth is, in many ways, a product, getting here, a product of other people pulling together and fighting for her. She had been here, I think, in October, wasn't it, Elizabeth?
Yes.
She had come to us, and we're very strict, and one of our rules is you can't smoke within a certain area, or anyway, Elizabeth was asked to leave because she was smoking too close, and maybe there were other things going on. I don't know. But Elizabeth left with, she had the best way to leave. I mean, she was quiet. She didn't blame anybody. And then there came a time when she wanted to come back, and so she is back. And I see a very different woman than I did before. And I know she wants to give some a little shout-out to some people from a church because they fought for her. And here she is to tell her story. And I think, you know, she looks beautiful,
she does.
Smiling. She's got her hair. Well, I can tell she's washed her hair because it looks a little wet today. She's ready to go. They won't know that you just washed your hair, but it looks good.
They do now.
Well, Elizabeth, let's back up. I don't even know how far to go back. Did you grow up here in the Fresno area?
Yes.
Okay. What was your family like? Did you have siblings? Were your parents together? Tell us your growing up years.
I have an older brother and a younger brother. My mom and dad divorced when I was like 5.
Okay. And who did you go with?
I went to foster care at that time.
And were you in foster care then through your 18th birthday?
No. No, I was in foster care until, well, I went back with my dad until I was in third grade. I went back to foster care, and then when I was in sixth grade, I went back to live with my dad till I left my home.
Okay. So most women that we have here at the home have had some kind of experience with substance abuse or perhaps physical, emotional abuse by another individual. Is that in your background as well?
Yes.
What, may I know, what kind of background?
I used to use heroin, cocaine.
And when did that stop?
That stopped in 96, basically, went to prison.
Okay, so that's a long time.
That's a long time. That's a hard thing to kick. And what is so sad, Jim, is heroin is making a comeback with high school kids. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh boy, that used to be the hell of drugs. That used to be as far as you could go if you were a drug addict was to be a heroin addict. And now to think that there are kids almost starting with that. Elizabeth, how did you stop? Was it because you went to prison?
Yeah, basically that's how I stopped, yeah.
And since 1996 then, we want to catch up with your life.
How long were you in prison?
Well, I was on parole for 4 years. I got off parole in 2001. And I wanted to have my children back in my life. And I went to a program, Victory Outreach, and I learned to pray. And God made a lot of changes in my life through that. And
So you eventually then got into the workplace and found a job?
Yeah, I've been working for, well, the last 10 years I've been working.
And what, may I know what you were doing?
Caregiving, being a caregiver.
Okay. And at some point that ran out.
That ran out. Yeah. It ran out, yeah.
And so then you didn't have any money and no place to, no way to pay for a place to stay. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
And so then you felt like you needed to have a place to stay. Well, how did Evangel Home come into the picture? Why Evangel Home?
Well, I was living across by Presbyterian Church, and I started going to church there. And there was two ladies, Joanne and Billy Joe, that helped me tremendously. And they're the ones who helped me to get into the Evangel Home.
One of the questions I like to ask, most people have this image of what a program would be, would look like. Mm-hmm. And then, so let me ask you, you walked in the door, your first time here, you walked in, you looked around and you thought,
it's a nice place.
Yeah, probably expecting something a little more industrial rather than domestic.
Yeah, it's nice. There's lots of women with children. Mm-hmm. And
it's set up like a home.
Yeah.
Not a barracks. Yeah. So when did you, you came here in October, is that what Jerry said? And you crossed some lines at some point. What was your reaction when you were asked to leave?
Well, I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
My reaction was, well, there was not much to do except to get what I had and go.
And where have you been staying between visits here?
Well, wherever. Different friends on the street, Naomi House.
She didn't want to be out there, and I'm so thankful that she was able to. We saw each other at church,
yeah.
And one of the gals that she just talked about brought her up to me just about 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And we were having a church potluck that day, I think.
Yeah.
And I remember standing there in the fellowship hall looking at Naomi in the eye and telling her what she had to do to get back in here. And it's a lot. You know, I'm saying you have to call on this day, and then you call back on this day, and then we do this, and then you call back on this day. And she did it. Mm. And I think it's very crucial, too, Jim, for our listeners to know that lots of women come here who don't make it the first time or the second time for a number of reasons. Sometimes it's our mistake. So we allow them to come back three times, but they have to be gone for 90 days in between. They can't just, you know, kind of do a revolving door real quickly. Mm-hmm. And then if they're ever in one of our programs, we will only let them come back as far as the crisis home. Because if they've done one of the programs and need to do it again, it's kind of like, they're just not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
We work and work and work with the women when they're here. But we know sometimes it's just not right for them, like it wasn't for Elizabeth the first time. And even if we had not asked her to leave, she might have just decided on her own it was time to go. But I think in that, the 90 days since she's been here, something's happened in her. I think she, I know you don't want to be out there.
It's been hard, yeah.
And so now is the time to really think, okay, what are you going to do about it? You know, you don't have a job, you can't work, you don't have young kids, you're not going to get aid. How old are you, Elizabeth?
I'm 50.
So what is a 50-year-old? Here I'm telling all her secrets that she washed her hair and she's 50 years old. they could probably guess all that. What do you do? You know, one of our real passions right now, Jim, is to find work for our graduates to help plug them in. That's hard enough when you've got a graduate that you can stand behind. Maybe you've got a graduate with tattoos on her face. Oh, come on, please, people, don't ever put a tattoo on her face. And she decides, maybe this isn't so good anymore. There are people who can help get that off.
Mm-hmm.
There are graduates who their biggest concern in life is that they don't have teeth. You've seen that. You know what that is like. Okay, I've got my life ready. I've got the inside ready. I'm ready to go, and I don't have teeth. How do you do a job interview without teeth? We have people who will come alongside our women and help them with that. But they are willing to come alongside when the woman has invested a little in herself. Right now, it's extremely hard for anybody to find a job, let alone one of our graduates, let alone Elizabeth, who's only been here a week or two and doesn't really have anybody behind her except a few people at church and the people here.
Yeah.
What is a 50-year-old woman with some teeth problems and her kind of background, what is she going to do? Now, it's easy to say, get a job. Well, good luck.
It's degrees can't even.
Yeah, so that is, yes, Elizabeth has made mistakes. I've made mistakes. You've made mistakes. And we recover from some of them, and some of them are a lot harder to kick out of the way. At 50 years old, maybe she's seeing a time she wants to turn around. What do we do? Well, thank goodness she's staying put right now and can just maybe take a deep breath and hear a little bit about what God might want her to do.
Yeah.
I'm just thankful she's here. I'm thankful for those people who fought for her. And Jim, they did it in a very realistic way. They didn't go out and grab someone who's sleeping under the oleander bushes and insist that we help her, because that doesn't work. If we go out and grab people off the street, that's not going to work. They need to want to come here, and Elizabeth did.
So you really want life's circumstances to change, to be different from what they have been.
Oh, yeah.
What are you thinking? What are your thoughts about 6 months from now? Where would you like to be?
Well, I'd like to have a place of my own. I'd like to have a job to be self-sufficient and have stability to where I'm not going to be homeless and maybe help other people in some way.
But you're apparently pretty committed to that change. You keep coming back. I mean, you came back again with pretty persistently, as I understand. So what do you think needs to change first and foremost with Elizabeth?
I need a lot of money.
I like that honesty. That would get the house at least.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to watch this all unfold, and we're down to just a minute or so here. Thank you for your vulnerability and being willing to share some of those difficult things in your history, like your age and stuff. But it's exciting to watch what God does in your life and how you respond to that. A very fascinating place to be coming from, Jerry. Well, Jerry, real quickly, we got 20 seconds. What's on your mind?
I want to thank the people who donated reading glasses to Evangel Home, because Elizabeth got a pair of those, and it immediately changed her life right now. She was looking for anything she could read. So if you've got plain old, you know, drugstore reading glasses and don't know what to do with them, we could use them.
Okay, that's easy. I've got 3 or 4 pair. I'm bringing down here then. I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, my listening friend, thank you for joining us, Jerry. Thank you.
Thank
Elizabeth,
you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. And we look forward to our next on-air adventure. And I hope you'll join us, my listening friend, from Heartline, from Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno. Find them online, evangelhome.org. By phone in the 559 area code, 264-4714. Thank you for tuning in this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, and we will chat with you next time